Be opening your Bibles to John 16. I've been going here at the prayer center now for about 18 years, and in all those years, only a handful of times, probably less than five, have I heard the Spirit give a warning like we got today through Pastor Dave. And I can tell you from experience, the other times it was exactly on track. It was exactly what happened. We needed that warning. Now, Jesus told us about one of the functions of the Holy Spirit was not only to be our teacher and our comforter and our guide, but he also says in John 16:13, says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come." Now, when he says in there, he's not going to speak of himself, what he means is this. It took me a long time to get that in words that I could understand it. Remember that what's going on here, John 14:15-16, Jesus is letting the disciples know that the time has come. He's about to leave the planet. They've been following him for 3.5-4 years, and they're going, well, what's going to happen now? I mean, you know, I'm sure at first blush, they felt like they were going to be orphans. And he says, no, there's another comforter coming. Now, what this means is he's not coming to be your Lord. He is coming to bring you my Lordship. What he hears, in other words, the Holy Spirit is everywhere. He's instant in heaven right at this moment. He's with me. He's with you. He's with Pastor Dave. He's everywhere. So what he hears in the throne room, that's what he tells us. So, not only collectively, but individually. He is your, I mean, Jesus has a, let's say it this way, the Father has a plan for the prayer center. It's in the mind of Christ. So there's a general plan for the prayer center. But there's an individual plan for your life. You're part of it. So he not only brings us the overall plan, which is kind of what we heard this morning, for the prayer center, but then he brings you individual instruction for your life. And it's really Jesus still being your Lord. The Holy Spirit hasn't come to replace him. He has come to reveal him. I like that, you know. And so Jesus, really, if we really learn how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, then it's really just as if you were one of the 12. I used to just moan and complain and gripe and whine to the Lord, but a long time ago before I was so changed. I mean, oh, anyway, last week. And then, well, not really. But I did. I said, it's not fair. I said, Peter and John and James, they could see you. They could hear you talk. There was no maybe so, if so, you know. And they knew exactly. They knew for sure what your instructions were for them day by day. They didn't have to, you know, guess all the time. And he says, well, what about Paul? He says, do you think he learned to follow me? I already knew I was in trouble. I went, yes. He says, now you do know that he says that I trained him. But you know he did not hear me before the resurrection. He was trained by the same comforter that I have sent to you. So if Paul could get his direction and his counseling and his tutoring from the Holy Spirit, if I gave you that same Holy Spirit, you reckon you could make it? And I went, yes. He says, well, sleep good tonight, boy. You've got the same Holy Ghost I gave him. We have no excuses, see? We have no excuses. Well, in the past, I remember the very first time that I remember Dave giving a severe warning. And Dave, when I say severe warning, it was much like today. I bet half the people that left here today didn't know that was a warning. Because it was delivered in a lot of love and a lot of humor. And you know how Dave is. But at the conclusion of the first one, way back almost 18 years ago, I can tell you what year it was. I tell you what day it was. It was December 4th, 1994. I was still driving the trucks. And the service that day, Sue was here. I was in Arkansas driving trucks. And the warning at the conclusion of it, I can't repeat the whole warning, but I remember the conclusions because Sue told me. She was here. He said, draw your family in. The enemy's coming with a new attack. He says, forgive everything that moves. Stay close to God. something like that. That's the best I can remember. When Sue got home from that meeting, there was a message on our answering machine. Those were the days of answering machines. There was a message on our answering machine from the Ozark Hospital in Ozark, Arkansas, letting her know that her husband had had a heart attack and that she needed to get there quickly. They didn't know if I had 24 hours or not. That same week, or roughly the same time, let me say it that way, the worship leader fell off a ladder that he was doing some work on his house, fell off a ladder, broke his back, same week. Aren't y'all glad y'all came tonight? Now, he recovered. I mean, God was merciful to him. You'd never know what happened if you saw him today. Other things happened that I would have to, I made notes, and I'd have to go back now, and which I did, had no time before this service. Now, I remember another warning that came. This was about the same time that you've heard Dave talk about the time that there was a ruler of darkness, a ruler of darkness that visited the service, and Dave, through the discerning of spirits, God opened his eyes, or he actually saw that demon. And it was the class of a ruler of darkness. He was about 7 foot tall. He was standing right where that exit sign is. And he says, now I know where in the movies they get where the monks get the design for their clothes, you know, the hooded robes, because that's what this guy was wearing. And you really couldn't see his face because the hood kind of came out just a little bit beyond. But this guy was an imposing figure, 7 foot tall or so, and he was kind of moving with his hands kind of like this. And Dave saw in the crowd maybe 100 demons, those little spirits. And he said he had noticed during that whole service that the atmosphere had just seemed dead. He says, I would say wonderful things, you know, and it's like my words would just go splat right on the floor and boom, you know. He said, I'd take a spatula and I'd try to, you know, sling them back up to God. But he said there was just this heaviness in the service. Well, God opened his spiritual eyes and he literally saw. See, discerning of spirits is not the gift of suspicion. Most people think that's why I discern, that you're going to do me in. That might be a word of knowledge. That's not discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits is where God opens your eyes and you see the spirits. You discern them, at least. You may not see them, but you discern them and you know for a fact. Well, in this case, God opened his eyes where he could see them. And there were like 100 of these demons going through the crowd, and they were shouting in everybody's ears that they could. There's something wrong here. There's something wrong at this church. You need to get away from here. Just all kinds of things like that. You know, nobody likes you here. It's dangerous. This is a cult. Yeah, get away from this place. Get away from this place. That through the whole service, these things are, you know, and at that moment, Dave did a long teaching on that later. He always wondered how, knowing that Satan is not omnipresent like the Holy Ghost, how could he affect a lot of people all at once the way the Holy Ghost does? And now he knows. He brings in these armies of demons, all shouting the same things to affect people the same way. That very next Sunday was the Sunday that we lost about 20 what we call front row people. You know what I mean by that? 20 people that had been here, boy, they were the kind you thought they'd be here till revival comes. Sue and I were still relatively new at the time. We weren't ministering or anything. And I just happened to be in one of those meetings right before when all of that hit the fan in church? When all of that came to its full harvest. I guess that's how you say it in church. they were saying terrible things. That's one of those times when I knew for sure that Dave was way further down this love walk than I was. They said horrible things. I was pretty new. I just fresh out of the trucks, you know. I wanted to stand up and, you know, I was going to defend my pastor. And the guy who had brought me, which was Charlie Rogers, he sat next to me, kept putting his hand on my shoulder. Down, boy. Down. I'll show him the love of God. Come over here. Well, sure enough, boy, they said horrible things. Dave, even then, you just poke him with a stick anywhere, just nothing but love pours out, you know. And sure enough, though, we lost about 20 people. Now, I've never heard, and I bet Daisy never has either, a warning like the one we got today. Because this one was different. Before, it was always, the attacks are coming, the devil's going to, you know, like a fallout. I fell out of the truck, I had that heart attack thing, the worship leader fell off a ladder, hurt his back, people are leaving the church and they're mad at you and they're upset and all that. You know, that's always tools in the devil's arsenal. But the warning we got today was quite different from that. In a way, it's very good. It's literally things to come. And by the way, you can't always change things to come. I didn't get any amens right there, and that's a good place to say amen. When God showed Joseph in a dream that there were 7 fat years coming, 7 prosperous years, and 7 lean years coming, you think that prayer and fasting could change that? Not a chance in the world you could change that. When the Holy Spirit, let's get New Testament, when the Holy Spirit said through that prophet, Agabus, I think his name was, and said, that he took Paul's girdle and he wrapped it around his arms, and he said, the man that owns this, he's going to be bound and led off to prison, basically. And you think fasting and prayer would have changed that? No, it wouldn't have changed that. It was part of the plan of God for him to be there at Rome to do what he did. There's things that you can... Oh, and there was also, I think, the same prophet prophesied a famine, I believe, in the New Testament was coming. And that's why they took up that collection, part of the reason, to take it to Jerusalem. There are things that can be changed, and there are things that you can't change. Even Jesus said, you know, they asked him, can you tell us the date of your coming? And Jesus, the Son of God, God the Son himself says, even I don't know that one. That's in the Father's hands. There's certain things that are in his hands and you can't change that. Well, this warning, we better heed what we heard, because the Holy Spirit didn't tell us today something that might come. He showed us something that is coming. Now, the handout tonight, you can take a look at this picture. This is in a book that I recommend to you. If you don't already have this book, it's called God's Generals. There are several volumes. Now, they used to have this one giant volume that cost all the money in the world, but they broke it into smaller volumes now so you can buy a piece at a time. And this is the one that can I think it's the first in the set, because it starts off with John Dowie and... John Alexander Dowie, and then goes on with some of those early pioneers. And the good thing, it's by Robert Slerden. They've got it over at Mardell's or probably any Christian bookstore or Amazon. It's called God's Generals. Now, be careful. They also have it on DVD, so be careful what you order, that you want the book or the DVD.
It's on Netflix, too.
And apparently it's on Netflix, too, okay. Just modern age, I tell you what. The reason I brought this picture in tonight, this is part of the warning. See, here's the thing. You start out at the prayer center. If you're like Sue and I at all, you were a wreck when you got here. Maybe all of you weren't, but we were. And a lot of wrecks come here. What I mean by that, you've been beat up by religion, or you've been beat up by life, or you've been beat up by the devil. And finally, you know, God's looking around for an emergency hospital because now you're on life support, you know. He says, where could I send them? You know? Oh, the prayer center. Dave will love them no matter what they're like. You know? So, get you to the prayer center and start getting this message. You know, hopefully get you doing the message and go, you start breathing a little life again, you know. But in the first, you're like everybody else. You're learning. You're you know, trying to develop a prayer life, trying to develop maybe a fasting life, learning how to really meditate the Word. See, at the stage of your life where not a whole lot is happening, anointing-wise. Hey, God loves us. We're all in school. He's done miracles through me, too. I've also prayed for a lot of folks that did not get healed. I prayed for a lot of folks that died. That is not His best. It never will His best. You'll never be His best. You'll never convince me it's His best. We're pressing towards the mark. Amen? I believe it'll happen in the revival the same way it happened when Jesus did it. And He prayed for them, and they all got healed. And that's exactly what we're pressing toward. Amen? So in the early days when you're recovering and maybe your little ministry is starting, you know, and you know, at this point you're just trying to obey God when He tells you to go feed somebody, much less heal the sick. He's going, will you drive across town and buy somebody a bag of groceries if I tell you to do it? Or will you do this or that? In those days, now the devil's attacks are, normally they're pretty carnal. Can I say it that way? Flat tires, dishwasher go out, people don't like me, somebody keyed my car, I don't know. It's that, or the kid's in trouble, kinds of stuff like that. And there's really not much point in that. Now, I'm going to make an extreme exaggeration. I don't want to get away from here. Let's say everyone that you pray for at this point, now, this is not my confession for you. I'm just trying to teach. You love God. You're at the prayer center. You're doing the message. You're doing good. You're learning to be a good steward. But at this moment, everybody you pray for dies. At that point, is there at that stage of your ministry, would there be any reason for the devil to come to you and try and convince you you're Elijah to come? You're going, are you kidding? Are you kidding? I have no anointing at all. I mean, I'm just trying to, you know, I'm trying to just stay in prayer. I'm just trying to do what I do, you know. And at that, in other words, there's no reason to send any demonic attack against you that would be some kind of self-exalting, you are someone, you know, and you're the chosen among all the Christians. Do you know no, it wasn't him, it was Branham. Branham actually got to the point, this devil convinced him that his vocal cords, when he was born only him, of all the humans ever born, ever on planet Earth, he was the only one that could say God's name correctly. What kind of devil is that? I mean, you talk about some kind of self-exalting devil. See, that won't work on somebody when they, you know, they pray for this one, he dies, they pray for the next one, he dies. You can't use that level of attack on them. But what the message was today, what the warning was, part of it is really good. People, we're coming into revival. Because the level of attack is coming will only be effective if you have an anointing. And what I mean is when you pray, stuff happens. Blind eyes open, deaf ears open, dead people stand back up and say, y'all, you know. I mean, when stuff starts happening, that's when the type of attack changes. Now, I passed out this handout from the book, God's Generals, because this is a picture. And see, even as I say this, I have so much respect for John Alexander Dowie. I have so much respect for that man. Do you know the ministries that came out of his ministry? How about John G. Lake? How about F.F. Bosworth? I mean, these guys have touched millions and millions of people, are in the kingdom of God and have been healed because of those ministries. And John Alexander Dowie was their mentor. He was their father. Plus, all the people that got healed under his own ministry. See, it's when valid things start to happen that you become a candidate for this different level of attack. I mean, we've used that phrase forever, and there's a lot of truth to it. New level, new devil. But if I was going to put a phrase, did I say it right? New level, new devil? If I was going to put a title on that warning today, that's probably what he was saying. He's going, now look, the level of attack that's coming now, it's a self-exalting devil. It's because things are beginning to happen. It's because God's using you at a level He's not used you at before. And that's when I don't think it would have worked for that assignment of those false singing angels. They were really demons sent to impersonate angels. And they've come to serenade Dave a few years ago. You know, and I've had a lot of time to think about that. That probably wouldn't even have been a valid attack 10 years before. But after you've seen some of the things that Dave has seen and stood on that stage in India and 5,000 people's teeth got filled with gold and silver and 250,000 people gave their heart to Jesus that night. And then you've seen things in Brazil, you know, like the girl that grew 4 inches in one night. And I mean, miracle upon miracle upon miracle. After a certain point, this subtle little attack comes and you begin hearing angels sing, you know, and you don't know. You've never heard of anything. Have any of you ever heard of that before? I had never heard of anybody under that one before. And what's the subtle thing? If you start receiving that, which he didn't know at first, but if you receive that, what is the message that that conveys? Well, you're special. You're different. There's not any. Do you know anyone else that the angels come and serenade like that? It's because you're special, Dave. Not only are you Pastor Dave, we're going to have to give you a higher name now, you know. And that's exactly the kind of thing that began happening to John Alexander Dowie. He began, these angels, or whether he knew they were angels or not, these thoughts kept coming to him that you are Elijah to come. He absolutely thought. He literally began signing his letters, the first apostle of the millennium. The first apostle. He was the one that was going to, he was Elijah to come who was going to usher in the millennium of Christ. And he was the only one. What would you all think if Pastor Dave came out? Now, for benefit of those who can only have audio, I'm holding up a picture of John Alexander Dowie near the end of his ministry. This is after he had received the revelation that he was this first apostle. Oh, and he, notice it says John Alexander Dowie, general overseer of Zion, in his what robe? He is the high priest. I believe Hebrews tells me Jesus is our high priest. Jesus is our high priest. But he's dressed in the high priest garment. And it, since you can't see this picture, I have to describe it for you a little. He's sitting what looks like he's perhaps his throne. I don't know what to tell you. He's in this long, long-sleeved outfit. It's kind of a dress. I mean, it's got a skirt, and it's got gold and all kinds of jewelry, looks like, embroidered on the front of it. And he's got this hat that Dave says is about a foot tall. I mean, he doesn't look normal. Does he look normal to you? The purpose of that is to sit there and say, I am very much exalted above you. I am someone whom you are not. Okay? So, this is the level of danger. This is the extreme case. And even as I say this, I have great respect for John Alexander Dowie. But one of the things we want to do is learn from the mistakes of our predecessors. They say, those that don't learn from history are destined to repeat it. Now, in God's kingdom, it never changes. The way up is the way what? The way down. Take the lowest seat. I'm not going to teach that again tonight. You could probably teach it as well as me. You know what Jesus said. He says, when someone invites you to a dinner, don't take out the choice place, the high seat. You take the lowest seat. You take that one. And, you know, over time, he who bids you come, the time will come, he'll come and say, friend, come up higher. And that, what that is a type of, Jesus is the one. He'll watch you. See if you'll serve at that level. See if you'll do what you're supposed to do at that level. And if he finds you faithful there, he will come one day and he will promote you in the kingdom. And when he does that, nobody can demote you either. But see, it's always at that level you're going to serve. At that level you're going to serve. I didn't have time to look this one up either. I promise I'll do a better job. But in the future, I'll bring you the actual word. I heard an excellent message one year, quite a few years ago, by Rick Renner. You know, he loves the Greek. And it's one of those passages where Paul is writing, and he says something along this line. He says, I am your slave. I am your servant. I am your servant for Christ's sake. In that particular verse, he doesn't always use it, but in that particular verse, he chose a word for servant that's not normal. Normally, it's the word doulos, D-O-U-L-O-S. It just means servant or bond slave. This particular one only has one meaning, and it always means a galley slave. A galley slave is the one who, in the boats in those days, you know, they had the slaves that served down underneath, and they're the ones with the oars that pulled on the, you know, that pulled the oars. He says, now think about it. Paul, describing his office as an apostle, the way he sees his office, he's not the fellow, as the ship sails along the Mediterranean, he's not the fellow sitting up on the top deck in the easy chair with a tall glass of lemonade, watching the beautiful view of the Mediterranean as they go by, as others labor. No, he said, he sees his place. He's down in the stench of the galley, where it's nothing but work, where there's no view at all. The food is terrible. There is no fellowship. And all there is service for your sake. See, I see Dave that way. Dave, I can't find a self-exalting bone in his body. And I'm not trying to exalt him when I say that. I'm just saying, after all these years, if anything, he keeps demoting himself. I notice now, he used to at least wear slacks. Now he comes out wearing blue jeans all the time, you know. So does Alan. I haven't acquiesced yet. I'm holding fast to my slacks doctrine so far. But I'm just saying, if anything, he's going the opposite direction. You know, he's trying. Wasn't this conference something? Those of you that could come to the conference, absolutely no competition. I never saw Dave do so little and God accomplish so much. different speakers. What do you do? Two services? Two or three? Hardly any, you know? And yet God accomplished what He wanted, and you saw all these different ministers, and I don't think you could detect 1 ounce of competition between them. We're all here with the same heart, same mind. Each one of us had our unique message to deliver, but it was all done. You could almost see it being orchestrated by an unseen hand, you know? All right? Well, that's the church, and the way up is always the way down. You want to be greater in the kingdom, you got to become more of a bondslave. You want to be exalted by God, you got to die more to the flesh, you know? So that's the real way. But the kingdom of darkness, the god of this world, he doesn't operate that way. And if there's, that's why praying in tongues is such a vital part of this message. If you don't pray, and not just praying in tongues, fasting and the whole thing, because what it does, it kills in you the very handle that the devil wants to use with self-exaltation. That thing in us, and it's in all of us, now don't tell me it's not, it's in everybody. I want to be appreciated. I want to be special. I want to be this. I want to be that. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is determined to kill that thing. Completely rip it out of you. Just throw it completely away where there's none of that left. But the wonderful thing is when that's gone, there is a peace there that the world cannot bring. There is an assurance. Do you think Jesus felt sad that he wasn't, do you think Jesus felt sad that he didn't get to wear robes like this and have a throne? And do you think he felt sad because he wasn't exalted like, you know, like this picture we see here? Did you know he also, God used him to heal diseases in thousands of people? And if you read the book, the diagnosis of the doctors was, he's got so many diseases, we can't list them all. He died of horrible diseases. Why? Self-exaltation was one of them. Let me tell you the other one. If you read his story in that book, here's the other one. His calling was specific to Chicago, that area, only that area. He had no permission from God to go anywhere else other than maybe a short visit and come back just. But he had no authorization from God to do anything else. He was called to Chicago. And as long as he stayed there, for the most part, he was okay. But as his ego got bigger, then his desire for fame got bigger, and he wanted to expand into California, and he wanted to expand in all these different places, and he began disobeying his mandate from God. If you read the one on Branham, you'll find out very much the same way. Now, God used him in miracles that hardly anyone to this day has duplicated. I mean, some of the things you read that God did through him will just make your jaw drop on the table. You go, wow. But he himself wanted to be a teacher. He was not a teacher. If anything, he was an evangelist / prophet. You know, he had the gifts, man. I mean, word of knowledge. This was before the days when they could do the little radio and the earbud thing like Peter Popoff got caught doing and others have got caught doing. This was before those days, where before it was even possible. He would literally read your mail. Your doctor's name is so-and-so. You live at such and such address. You received your last medical chart on such and such a date, and this is what it says. And it would be accurate 100%. And then miracles would happen, you know. But see, he wanted to teach. And friends of his, Gordon Lindsay and others, friends of his told him, you're not called to teach. Because he would try it and they'd go, he's not called to teach. See, and that was in the message even today. He was talking about his, you know, I can't think of his name right now, but Dave was talking about his friend, the one who kind of mentored him in the early days, but he was never really called to teach. But Earl Hitchin, thank you. His son today, though, is ministering all over Africa and having tremendous results. But anyway, staying back with Branham. Branham, if I remember correctly, and I haven't read it in a while, I think he died in his 50s. Younger than me, for crying out loud. And I'm just a pup. And he died in a horrible car accident. It was not pretty. And why? Why? Well, he wanted to teach. And more than one came to him saying, look, you are a great blessing to the body of Christ. God has blessed you. He has anointed you. You have flow in the gifts that God has given you. But, sir, you don't have any anointing to teach. Now, I have personally listened to about 3 of his messages They're old and scratchy. I don't have copies, but I got to hear them on cassette tape. Trust me, the man was not called to teach, okay? He says things in there that are so off the... Besides not having a delivery, you know, a calling to do it that way, the content was off the wall. Absolutely off the wall. Not right. Incorrect. I'm trying to use enough adjectives. Wrong. Okay? But he was determined. I will teach. I will be a teacher in the body of Christ. So he disobeyed God. He got away from his calling. See? That's why it's important for me. You're never going to see a church pastored by Gary Carpenter. People call me pastor all the time, and that's fine. But I know myself, I am never going to pastor a church. I am not a pastor. I've been told specifically, I am a teacher in the body of Christ. It won't do for me to pastor. You know, I think I'd kill them all. What do you mean you won't pray? Get over here, smack. You know, I got too much OR still in me. You know, what do you mean you won't pray? Get over here. Maybe that's it. I don't know. Might be other things. But I'm not called to, I don't really have a shepherd's heart. I have a teacher's heart. And I'm not kind of like Daisy. Daisy, you know, her career was in the teaching field. We have a long ruler, don't we, Daisy? When the days they'd let us use it, by golly, if you're not going to do your homework, rap right on the knuckles, you know. You're going to get this. Dave will just get in line again. Let me pray for you. Now, the point that I'm trying to make is this. Do y'all think our pastor hears God? Boy, I do. I believe our pastor hears God. And I've been here also to watch in the past as these warnings from the Holy Ghost, I've seen them come to pass myself. Okay? Now, the warning is a blessing and not so much a blessing all at the same time. The good news about what was said today. And boy, I hope to God they put that one out. I want to hear it again. When Dave delivers that, it's with so much love and so much humor, you hardly know what's going on. Sue and I, in the early days, we'd come to the services, and it was, you know, Dave would deliver it in such humor, so much love. Take about 3 days later, I'm rolling it all over in my mind. I went, "Hey, he was getting on us," but you couldn't hardly tell it. See, well, that's kind of what today's is. I mean, there was a lot of content in that message today, but those that's been around here a while, we picked it up. That is a warning. The good news is this. We're entering into the edge of revival. Not just corporately, but if you've been a part of this, your anointing, your particular part in the puzzle, the part that God has called you to fill, your spot, whether it be in Africa, whether it be in India, whether it be right here, whether it be, I don't care what it is, whether it's to make the money, to fuel the combines of revival, I don't care, I'm not pointing it out for any particular reason, okay, don't, he pointed at me, no. Okay, whatever it is, you're about to enter into a different level of anointing than you have known in the past. That is good. I am excited about that. I think we're going to see more healings. I think if you're called to make money for the kingdom, I think you're about to make some money. You know, if your calling is to lay hands on people and see them healed, I think you're about to see an upturn like you've never seen before. If you're ministering to the prisoners, I think you're going to see captives set free. They're going to become firebrands to take the gospel to the world. Whatever it is you're called to do, it's turning up. Let's say it this way, going to a new level. That's the good part. Bad part? New level? New devil. So, well, what do I do? I can't change that. No, you can't. But what you can do is do not quit doing the message. See, the thing about John Alexander Dowling, I don't know that he had much understanding of the revelation gift. I don't know how much he knew about praying in other tongues. I never studied extensively with him about him to know that. You have advantages that these predecessors did not have. You're at a good church to be able to avoid these pitfalls. So how do I keep going down as the Lord promotes me? You do the message and it's hard. I need to rephrase that. You're not going to have the time that you had before. I can tell you right now, you're not going to have the time. I see somebody going, "I don't have any time now." Yes, you do. Yes, all of us do. I double dog dare you. again. I've done this in times past. Take you a sheet of paper, draw 1 through 12, that's 12 hours a day. Keep a log every 30 minutes of exactly what you're doing all day, every day. Don't do it from memory. Every 30 minutes, set a watch or have a timer or something. Got an egg timer or some kind of timer? Write down what you're doing every 30 minutes all day. You'll be scared at the end of a week how much time you have. How much time you're spending doing stuff that keeps you busy, but is not really preventing you from doing the message if you want to. It's, every time I do that, I never tell you the results. So anyway. Tim wanted me to do it. He was wanting to use it for a teaching thing. Gary, I want you to keep this for a week. I laughed so hard. I said, you are never. You're never going to get that from me. I'm not that dead. Forget it. You do it on your own self. I ain't doing it. Because it's embarrassing if you really do it. And I'm like, if I was just I don't have time. And I'd tell you the truth. I don't have time either. Then I do that and I go, I got time. I'm lying to myself, or the devil's lying to me. But what does happen as the Lord begins to use you more, it is difficult. It is what I wouldn't give for a week like I used to have in the trucks, where I had nothing to do all day but to drive, look at the scenery, pray in other tongues, maybe listen to a Dave tape. Pray in other tongues. Listen to God. When He starts talking or showing, just pull over and write that down. Boy, what I wouldn't give for a day like that. I don't think those days are ever coming back. Because He's using us. He's using Sue and I both. I can't even tell you the things. I can't tell you the things that happen. You won't be able to tell them either. The drives at night to other cities to deliver food or to pray for terminal cases. Things that you don't know about, you don't need to know about. But these things are coming. And it's hard to be praying while you're doing some of those things, you know. But the point is this, don't forsake the message when you do have time. It's going to be even more important that you use that time to do the message. Pray and fast and do those things that we know to do. Because if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to continually kill that, whatever that thing is, that handle in us that the devil uses for self-exaltation. Hey, I bet he's got a lot of other tricks besides singing devils. Serenading devils. Let me just tell you this. I'll go ahead and tell you this and I'll close. I'll be in enough trouble right here. Gold dusting. Rubies from heaven. Heavenly choirs. People, those are just the beginning of what's coming. Those are just the beginning of the level of deception. You can read about it, how the devil in the last days is going to use such lying signs and wonders. They are going to get so strong that if possible, it would deceive even the very elect. This is just the beginning of deception. And look how many Christians have already fallen for that. Why? Because they are so focused on seeing something outwardly than they are on doing something inwardly, letting the Holy Spirit conform them to the image of Christ. Focus on the inside. Focus on your temple. Let Him drive the money changers out of your temple. Let Him drive the self-exalters out of your temple. Let the Holy Spirit purge the chaff from the wheat. We'll just keep that which remains. Does that sound good to you? Now, those warnings don't come for no reason. On the one hand, expect greater anointings than you've ever walked in before. On the other hand, be not ignorant of Satan's devices. Let's continue to do the message so that we keep going down so he can take us up. Did you get anything out of that? Hallelujah. I better not see any of you wearing no outfits like this. I'm not that dead. I will slap that hat right off your head. Slap it right off. Now, warn it. Can you see it? Can you see it on you? This is the picture that we've been showing to everybody. And it's in the book, God's Generals, by Robert Slairden. Now, by the way, it's no coincidence that Mark Jenkins' message today was on worship. Private worship. I don't know of anything that will keep you humble in front of the Master, Him having His rightful place and you having your rightful place, Creator, Createe, God to be worshipped and worshiper, even though we're Father, Child, Jesus worshipped, I don't think it's any coincidence that on the same day we get that warning, the other message we get is a strong emphasis on private worship. So the Holy Spirit seems to really be putting an emphasis on that right now. So that may be also one of the primary keys to help keep us in our away from self-exaltation, away from this next wave of deception that's coming.